We are the body, but I still have to say it. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
What brought me to this point was a trip that we had to make down to a place where we used to live, and I'm not going to use the word in church. Well, some people know, but hopefully they won't tell on us. When we were down there for our grandson's wedding, there were three people that we came in close contact with. One is a pastor. One is a what I would call a nominal Christian. I'm not trying to judge, but yeah, she may or may not change or attend church. And the other is basically an unbeliever. They all had one thing in common. They were all caught in that horrible maelstrom that so many of us get caught in, that comes in around us. It blocks our vision. It takes our eyes off Christ. And where do we go from there? So let's take this morning a little bit further. But before I can do that, we usually read scripture. And I didn't have to go very far. I had a whole bunch of different verses picked out because there's some, obviously there's a whole book here of beautiful verses. But Jerry, in reading the Psalm 138, they're towards the tail end of that. Join me in that. As soon as I put my glasses on, I'll be able to tell you where. Verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his promise, his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Wow. You know, we walk so often through this. You may be seated. Father, thank you. Thank you that you are a promise keeper. Just as we just sang, thank you. Help us to turn away from the lies of this world promotes and that Satan gives. Help us to turn to your promises. If you want to put that first slide up. There we go. Yeah, we're back. If we can have the kids come up, please. We got three of them. Ooh, five. Wow, six.
That's actually a squirrel.
You know what kind of a squirrel that is? Besides one that somebody just said crazy. It is a red squirrel, not a Japanese red. I don't think he's Japanese. I don't. He doesn't. He doesn't carry a little passport. Red squirrels can be found generally in Europe. Just red squirrel. Guys, let's kind of move in here just a little bit. And I know I'm going to regret this, but I got to get down here. You better call me a tow truck now. They can be slow in responding. When we talked about the squirrels a long time ago, it was like last summer, they had gone to talk to try to find their way home back to the redwood forest. They'd gone to talk to an ant. Do you remember what they did when they, or what they learned from that ant?
No.
Yeah, don't. You did? What they learned was that they are to work together. They don't need to be told to do something. The ant was carrying food to the colony. He didn't need to be told to carry the food to the colony any more than any one of you needs to be told to pick up your room. It's just part of what we do. And I know not a one of you ever has to be told to pick up your room because you do that on your own, don't you? Don't answer that.
Not
sometimes.
Not all.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you being honest. That's a good thing. Okay.
At night?
So, let's get into the story. When we last saw the red-handed gang, remember that's Buzz, Bert, and Bart, they had just concluded a talk with the little one, the ant. They had learned that they should not have to be told to provide food for their colony. They should be gathering it because that's what the colony needed of them. And just like a family, if all the colony doesn't do the task they are assigned, something or someone gets hurt. Bart, Buzz, and Bert are still lost. They do not know yet how to find their way home. Little one, the ant, told them to seek out the hairy giant. Would you want to go looking for a hairy giant?
No.
Ooh, no. Well, he was assuring them that this hairy giant would be able to help them on their way. So they walked, and they walked, and they walked. There was food in abundance around them, but that also meant that the great white owl, the eagle, and the coyote, and all the rest were around. And none of the three had any way to protect themselves other than using a whole lot of caution. Quietly, they walked through the brush and trees. The leaves of the trees were a brilliant orange and red, while the bushes just looked thirsty. So it sounds like they're still in fall, doesn't it? Quietly, step after step, very quietly, as they walked, they came to the edge of the plain. The drop-off looked to them like it went down forever. Boulders were strewn all over the hillside. Here and there, there were piles of rock. "What do we do?" asked Bert in a whisper. I don't think this is the way home. Bart, also whispering, said, "But we're looking for the hairy giant. And this is the way the little one told us to go." Buzz quietly chimed in, "Yeah, this is the way to the hairy giant. But do we really want to go and see a huge hairy giant?" First mistake. They were told he was a hairy giant. And little one, the ant, had said, "He may not be that much of a giant to you." So now they're starting to build this thing up even scarier in their minds. Bert replied back, "Do we want to ever get home? We need help, even if it is a scary, hairy giant." With that, he stepped over the edge and started carefully and very quietly down the hillside. They hadn't gone far before they heard and even felt a heavy thump, followed by another thump and another thump and another thump. The threesome were terrified. They knew that they were about to meet something massive, something hideously ugly, something out of their worst nightmare. Suddenly a cry rose like no noise they had ever heard. What was that? I don't know. A very shaky Buzz asked, "What was that?" "I don't know, but it sounds like something just got killed," Bert replied. Bart didn't say anything. He did his best to see what it was that uttered such a painful cry. So here again, something massive, hideously ugly, something directly out of their worst nightmare. Where's that picture coming from? It's coming from in here. That's coming from their mind. They were just told that he was a hairy giant to the ant. Carefully, they slid beside one rock, then another. Then they were close to whatever it was that cried. As they moved around to the next large rock, the same shriek came again. And suddenly, it was there.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. As one, they all screamed and scampered for cover. Poking their heads up once again around the boulder, They came eye to eye with a critter. And the critter definitely was not as pretty as a red squirrel. But it had every bit as much hair and teeth. Bert screamed, "It's going to eat us! Run!" And with that, the red-handed gang took off at a full run. Suddenly, a voice behind them hollered, "Stop! I won't eat you. I'm a vegan. I only eat veggie stuff." Does that look like something out of your worst nightmare?
No.
No. It's cute. It's a rock badger. Well, let's go a little bit further and see what happens. The threesome stopped and turned. "You're a veggie eater? But you have fangs." "No, no, no. These aren't fangs. They're tusks," replied the fuzzy little critter. "What do you mean tusks? And why do you whistle when you talk? And why are you stomping around and screeching like you were?" Bart asked. "And who are you anyway?" "Just a minute," he replied. And he went around another boulder and then came back out with no more fangs. "I am a rock badger, but my nearest cousin are all elephants, and I want to be one too. I have to take out my teeth when I eat and when I talk, otherwise I whistle. But the elephants, when they walk around, the ground shakes, and they make the most wonderful sound," he replied. "And everything sits up and takes notice. But who are you?" "I'm Bart. Our fastest runner here is Bert, and my hefty friend here is Buzz. We're red squirrels, and we're trying to find our way home. Little one, the ant, told us to find a giant named Hyrax, and he might be able to help us." "Well, I'm a Hyrax. Maybe I can help you," Hiram replied. Now, a Hyrax is also known as a, what was that, Jonathan?
Rock badger.
A rock badger. It is its nearest relatives, its nearest cousins, in fact, are elephants. And there's one other that is equally closely related. Do you know what a manatee is?
No.
It's a great big...
Hippo with flippers and not...
Perfect. And no legs. That's what they are also called, is a sea cow. Yeah. But they are very nice and very gentle. Well, maybe we should have, but we won't right now. So then Hiram said, "Come on inside where it's safe and let's see what we can do." "Inside? Where?" Bart asked. "Right here in my house. We build our homes in the rocks. That way we are free from the winged killers and the prowlers at night." "How did you make this?" Buzz asked. "We, the colony, work together until the job is done. I help them, they help me, and we all help each other. It wouldn't work any other way." Bert, who was looking at various pictures on the wall, saw one quite different than any of the others. "Who or what is this?" Hiram walked over. "Oh, that's my most famous cousin. He's even had books written about him. His name is Horton, and he's an elephant." "Wow, he really is... really big, and you want to be like him? Why?" "Because he is big. He doesn't have to worry about anything. If something comes around to harm him, he can just step on them and mash them. What do you think? Are my tusks big enough yet? I am trying to put on weight, and I'm working out trying to get bigger." Bert looked at him sadly. "Hiram, we need to talk. You see, I thought I should be able to fly like our cousins, the flying squirrels. I even went so far as to sign up to be cut up so I could be what I thought I wanted. If it hadn't have been for my buds, I don't know what would have happened to me and to the way the father made me. And you know, if he's satisfied with me, then I think I should be too." Hiram looked at him thoughtfully for a moment, and then he turned away. What was it you three wanted? Where are you from and where are you going? We're trying to find our way home. We lived in the redwood forest in our own colony. Well, I'm not sure where your forest is, but I'll bet my family and I, when we put our heads together, we'll be able to figure out where. So it looks like the big, hairy, scary giant turned out not to be so scary, doesn't it? Do you think his family will be able to tell him how to get back home? What do we know about the rock badger? They build their houses in the rock. God's word says that there are four things that are very wise, but small. The first is the ant, and the ant gathers their food, but they all gather it together. The rock badger builds its houses in the rock. Why is that smart? Can anything get to them? What if there's a brush fire? They go down in their hole. They're safe.
But snakes.
They don't have a whole lot of snakes where the rock badgers live. They have birds that grab the snakes, take them away, and drop them in other places that like snakes. Yeah. So we will find out what the family says, and we'll find out if they'll finally find their way home when next we meet. So remember, the ants and the rock badgers, and we don't know where they're going next. So if you want to go to the back, I am sure that there is some good stuff back there.
What are those?
Oh. Well, the spirit's willing, but the back is still weak. I think we can change it off of that one now. Oh, there's nobody up there. All right, so we'll just talk about rock badgers and what they mean to us. If I say pretty please, could we? Thank you. Oh, it's still up there too. Thank you. Two passages both say the same thing. One's Old Testament, one's New. Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And the key portion, I will not leave you or forsake you. Hebrews, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you can't find a wellspring of hope, just from those two portions of those two verses, folks, you might be sitting at the wrong well, because it's all there, right there in those two. He will take us through. The Hebrews probably were a lot wiser than us. They gave him names that described him. El Shaddai, the Almighty, All-Sufficient God. So you've got the Almighty, All-Sufficient God telling you that he's never going to leave you or forsake you. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. You need something? If you need it, he'll provide. Jehovah Rophi, the Lord, the Physician. Are you sick? And Jehovah Emkadesh, the Lord sanctifies. Jesus told the woman caught in adultery to go and sin no more on her own. She can't. On their own, she can't do anything about that. She's still going to sin. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on God. Trust the Father. Trust that he'll do what he'll say. Are we missing our page turn? Oops. Selah, could you turn my page one more time? Thank you. Actually, be a bunch more. Joshua 22:5. Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And then Romans, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. When I go through my Bible, when I'm reading my Bible, I like to find out what the meaning of the words really are, not looking in Webster's, because quite frankly, I don't think Webster really knows. So I'll go to the Hebrew or I'll go to the Greek, and it really is true. It is all Greek to me, but fortunately, they're written in English. The definitions are in English. To cling in the Hebrew is davek. Cling, hold fast. But it's also one other word that we recognize even more, and it's cleave. Just as in husband and wife, you are to cleave to the Lord. What you're clinging to, just as what these three people were clinging to, defiles them. What they're clinging to, what they're holding to, is their master. And if that's their master, and if your worries, your passions, your fears are mastering you, what does that make you? Exactly. Thank you. A slave. Selah, can we go to the next one, please? Hope. Romans 3, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into the grace which we stand. And we rejoice in hope, the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Oh boy, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Don't let go of that hope. Hebrew is yachal. That's hope, yes, but it also means another word that we don't like, and that's to wait. In the Greek, elpizo, again, hope, but it also means to trust. People watch how you handle your big tragedies, your little tragedies, how you handle incidents in your life, how you handle pain. We have a family in here who a couple of years ago now was burned out. They went through grief. They went through anger. But they also went through some of the most tremendous blessing that a person could ask for. Not just finding family that they didn't know they had, but allowing the love of this family to be poured out on it. Your hope needs to burn with such an intensity that people see that first. Not see your pain, not see your grief, not see your troubles. Good old believe. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. And he that rewards those, and he rewards those who seek him. Every time I read this one, I get puzzled, because why would somebody even bother to draw near to him if they didn't believe he existed? But then I look, I read articles in the editorial page of some of the birdcage liners that we get. We call them newspapers now. There's people out there that are writing things about God that is just about as far off as anything can be. They don't believe in our God. They don't believe in the God that we just sang about, the promise keeper, miracle worker. No. They believe in something else. Most of the time, they're believing in their own problems. The Greek word for believe is pisuo. It's believe, but it's also commit and to trust. Turn with me, if you would, to Isaiah 26. So once you get to Psalms, make a left, make a right, go through Proverbs, through Ecclesiastes, through Songs, or the Song of Solomon, and then go clear to the address is chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. I love it when I hear pages turning because we're getting deeper into God's Word. And I'm certainly not going to rush you. If you get to Jeremiah, Christina, you just put it in reverse and back up a little bit. Who says guys don't know directions? Verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Other versions tell you, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord your God is an everlasting rock. He is our rock. You can depend on him. Okay, Selah. James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. Think about it. We all have issues. We all have problems. And we pick them up and then we lay them at the foot of the cross. And we start to walk away from them and we reach behind us and we grab them and we pick them up again. So then we turn around and we put them back at the foot of the cross. And we do this over and over. But we still are putting them at the foot of the cross. But if you're asking and you're picking it back up, you're doubting. Let it go. Leave it alone. We talk to our Father. He gives generously to all. To all. That means that he's giving just as generously to you as he does to me, as he does to you. Keep your hope light lit. Belief, hope, faith, they all live together. Don't let your doubts, your worries crowd out or block your vision of he that's with you always, even till the end of time. Selah. Exodus 13, when the Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest the people change their minds, and then when they see war, they return to Egypt. But God led the people around by the way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. And the people of Israel went up out of the land of Egypt equipped for battle because God trained them. If you let him train you, sometimes the problems we go through, actually I would say more than sometimes, it's training. It's helping us to grow. When you make it through whatever's standing in front of you right now, you're going to be stronger because the next thing's going to be stronger. So stand. Now, as a responsible parent, you wouldn't give the keys of your Ferrari to your 13-year-old child, I hope. Actually, if you have a Ferrari, you could give the keys to me, but I won't go there. God is also responsible, and he shows responsibility. That's why he will take us the long way sometimes. It doesn't make it fun, doesn't ease our pain, but if you'll remember from Psalm 23, he's with us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. And actually, if you go to Psalm 86, he walks with us through the valley of Baca. That's the valley of tears. When you go into the military, they don't, well, when I went in, as to remove bombs and booby traps. Now, there was a good group of us in our squadron. We first went through basic, and they yelled at us a whole lot. Terrified us, but they broke us down, and then they started to rebuild us. Then carefully, they started teaching us. It would have been far easier for them to take the 34 guys that were in my class and say, okay, we want you to go out to that road, and there's 34 landmines. Each one of you, dearm one. And the survivors will go on to the next class. But that's not the way they do it, because they run out of people. Instead, they train you. They teach you what makes it tick. No, that's the wrong word. Not what makes it tick, what makes it work. They yell at you a lot. They're unlike the training that God is giving you now, because God's not going to yell at you. He is infinitely patient, infinitely loving. And he'll take you through it with love. Do you want to run ahead? Is God going too slow for you? 2 John 1:9 says, everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. That scares me enough to make me walk slower. Let God kind of kick me in the backside to get me moving. Okay, Sarah. Proverbs 6, there are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, and a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among his brothers. These are the more blatant things that we put between us and God. The list begins with haughty eyes, and when I was thinking of haughty eyes and arrogance, because my mind works in strange places, I was thinking of a story that I heard back, I thought it was in the mid-60s, it might have been mid-70s. And those of you who are or who were in the Navy, I apologize to, kind of, but I was Air Force, so I don't really have to apologize a whole lot. This is a story that the U.S. Navy vehemently swears is false. This is a story that the Canadians vehemently, equally vehemently swear is true. And I will read the alleged, I will call it alleged, transcript. Actually, the transcript of the voice recording. The U.S. ship, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision. Canadians, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. U.S. ship, this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadians, no, I say again, you divert your course. After all, this is U.S. Navy. U.S. ship, this is the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by 3 destroyers, 3 cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadian reply, this is a lighthouse. Your call. Obviously, the Navy's going to deny that. But think about it. Think about the arrogance. How often do we do that? No, you move. I'm not going to travel that slow behind you. I'm going to pass you. Now, I would never do anything like that. Karen, stop it. She pointed to her nose to indicate that my nose was growing. We do have to watch ourselves, but there's something, there's an even more important message in this. Now, the captain of that ship will do what he wishes. But what are you doing with the folks you hang around with? What direction are they taking? Are you heading towards the rocks? Is there a call out from God, hey, here's the light, come over here? You've got to pay attention to God if your leader, those who you are following, are leading in the wrong direction. The best advice I can give you is jump ship. Don't hang out with them. I think I've done all the damage to the U.S. Navy I can there. The next one is a lying tongue. We go back to the altercation between the two countries. Who's lying? Or is it perceptions? The U.S. Navy had perceived that that was another ship coming at them. The Canadians perceived, probably more correctly, that they were a pile of rocks with a light on top. Who wins? Hands that shed innocent blood? That really seems obvious. Somebody that takes the life of another or hurts another. But what about gossip? That's one of the most deadly knives ever. It's not the most deadly in this list, but it's very deadly. And it doesn't have to be done with malicious intent. You can have the best intent in the world. We were talking about this in the class earlier. I'd like everybody to pray for my wife because she's having a terrible time with her husband. That may be true. She just shook her head yes. It may be true, but that's not something that you bring up in a group. That is something, that's a private request. Pray for it. And just you pray for it. Don't put it on the prayer chain. Don't put it on the board unless you've cleared it with that person. Ask them. Well, do you mind if I put that your husband's a deadbeat on the prayer chain? Might be a problem. But there are other ways to put it. But talk to them. Oof, how about hearts that devise wicked plans? I spent the first part of my life devising wicked plans. And God thwarts them. He may not thwart them immediately, but you don't want to go there. You really don't want to go there. Feet that make haste to run to evil. Now, we're all Christians in here, right? We're all Christians in here, right? I thought I was in the wrong place there for a minute. How difficult is it to run when you put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace as shoes for your feet? And that's out of Ephesians 6:15. If the gospel of peace is on your feet, how can you make haste to run to evil? And the last one that has a little bit of a different knife, actually the next to last, but is still a deadly knife, and that's a false witness that breathes out lies. This is different than the gossip who thinks that they're doing a kindness or may think they're doing a kindness. These lies are not a kindness. They're not meant to be a kindness. They are malicious. They're meant to harm somebody. And they do. Trust me. They really, really do. And the last. Selah. Hebrews 12, strive for peace with everyone. And for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. the one who sows discord among the brothers. Are you angry enough that you're looking at that anger rather than the one who can do something about the anger? You know, when you hold on to that anger and you massage it and you just hold and hold, it turns hard. It gets very, very hard. And then it becomes bitterness. And that bitterness won't leave you. You got to let go of it. When it's the anger, we have seen, we have witnessed, all of us have, where bitterness ruins lives. Hebrew makes it a point. It says, all become defiled because we're all affected by it. If somebody is bitter, bad-mouthing, angry, that affects the whole body. That is the worst virus going. So where are you looking? Are you looking towards one who can do something about it? Are you focusing on your issues? Or are you going to look to God? You remember Him. He's the one who will never leave you or forsake you. Sarah? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is unchanging. His love is unchanging. He doesn't care from the love standpoint what you do. He cares because He loves you what you do. He's not standing there with a leather belt to beat on you every time you make an error. How big is your God? If you make a mistake, do you think He can forgive you? I hope you know that He forgives. I hope you know that He's a big enough God that He can correct your course. That doesn't mean you don't live with consequences of dumb decisions. We all do. I actually have a doctorate in dumb decisions. I won't tell you where I got it. His desire is for our best. Not for almost good enough. Not for something close, but His absolute best. And that never changes with Him. Even if we stumble, even if we fall, He is still after our best. He will never leave us or forsake us. And I'm going to say that enough today that you people will be sick of hearing it, but hopefully embracing it. Selah? Proverbs 2, 1 through 8, and actually I'm going to read 5 through 8. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over His saints. How do we get wisdom? Yeah, we ask for it. What was that? The liberal? Yes, He does. No, thank you. I appreciate that because He does in abundance. We need to ask, but we need to ask with the right intent. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Folks, your righteousness is counted through Christ. You're upright. You're there. What's standing in His way? What are you allowing to block? Is it your fear of what other people will say? Is it a fear of falling back into what you were? If you could, I'd already be there, and you can't. Because the Lord loves you too much, and He holds on to you. Trust in Him. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. Remember the three people I started talking about, walking in the maelstrom. You don't have to walk in that. And if you're walking in it now, put your hand out. Let Him take you by the hand and help you through it. There's one that's walking through the maelstrom right now. It is he. It's not an angel. It's not an appointee. And folks, it's definitely not yourself. It's he that watches over you. He's not going to not watch over you. He's already promised that. You sang the songs. Believe the songs. Selah. Matthew. This one causes problems. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. And Mark. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. You really have to be careful with these. This can be taken as far as some of the name it and claim it or blab it and nab it or whatever they were groups that said, hey, you asked for it, you got it, it's yours. Excuse me. Our position is servant to the living God and also child to the living God. But he's still the Father. So we don't tell him what to do. Ask like Jesus did. Your will be done. And I've been told by some from that those groups that if you say your will be done, then you're weakening your prayer and it won't be answered. Okay, you go tell that to Jesus. I don't have that kind of courage. Selah. I'm going to have to grow some fingerprints. That's how you turn pages. James 4 and 5. Here we'll get into it. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Your passions can be just about anything. There are some in this body. Yeah, there's still some in this body whose passion is things, evil things like motorcycles. Is Zach here? You can tell him I said that. Is Chris here? No, he's never here. We do need to seek his path for us. If we want to fulfill our own desires, fulfill what we want, it's not going to work. You don't have to understand where he's sending you, how you're going. You don't have to understand that. You have to do it. But you have to have enough faith, enough trust, enough hope. You have to believe that what he's doing is not because he's a cool God. It's because he loves you that much, even if it might cause you some pain. He will give you understanding, but it may come a bit later. Turn with me to Genesis 45, if you would. That's an easier book to find. It's not stuck out there in the middle. Unless you have my Bible. Starting with verse 4 when you get there. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near me, please. And they came near. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, who you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in your land for 2 years. And there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing or harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. What his brothers had meant for evil, God meant for good. If you'll just outlast the stuff that's tumbling down on you, then you will see the blessings of God. I had a difficult childhood. My parents had a very difficult child. But I can look back on that now and I can praise God. I can praise God for every minute, not of what I did, but the fact of what God did. Christina and Larry mourn for the loss of their first home, but they can praise God because in that, one, they've got a stronger family, and two, they found more family. Each one of you probably can relate to that somewhere along the lines, or else you haven't gotten all the way through the valley yet. But you don't have to pitch your tent there. You're walking with God. Selah? Proverbs 8:34 and 36. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. You ever wondered why or where the railroad got stopped? Look and listen. It just took the opposite of verse 34. When you're in that dark valley, when you're in a terrifying place, when you're in that place of deep mourning, of pain, of whatever it may be, stop. Just stop. Listen. Take some time and listen. But don't just listen with these things that hang on the side of your head. Listen with your heart. And then start to look. Look with your eyes, but again, look with your hearts. He is there and he will be there and he will make his presence known if you're willing to take the time to do it. Stop. You got to get the stuff out of the way. And if you're too busy shoving that load ahead of you so you can make forward progress, you're not going to make it. Don't wander around in the darkness. Wait for him. One of the proverbs that I always fall back to, especially for myself, is 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's everything you are. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't depend on what you think is right. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Know him. Trust him. He will make your path straight. It's not up to us. It's up to us to mess up. Like I say, that's another one that I've got a doctorate in. But trust in God. He will take you out of that. Folks, if you don't walk out of here with anything else, realize that this God that we come here and worship, this God that we sing to and sing about, will never leave you or forsake you. Love him as he loves you. Heavenly Father, your word is completely filled with how much you love us, how much you do for us, how much you care for us. Help us to get our eyes off of the maelstrom around us. Help us to step up on the rock and realize that you're for us. So what can man do to us? Father, I understand that we have consequences for some of the things we do. Please forgive us where we err and walk with us while we endure those consequences. Sometimes we have consequences, Father, of things that other people have done, either done to us or done for us. Father, please help us to forgive as we've been forgiven, but help us to look to you for the healing. You are our healer. You are our strength. And you are our Lord God Almighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.